Chapter 18. Acacia wasn't foolish. She knew she was taking a risk. On the way to the airport, she texted Nicholas's name and alias to Kate, along with a short explanation about KLH and Madame Bishop. Acacia also forwarded Luke's number, asking Kate to alert him if for some reason she didn't maintain contact. Kate responded immediately.
Okay, be careful.
No sooner had Acacia read Kate's text when another text arrived from Luke.
Where are you?
Acacia sat back in her seat. Obviously, whoever was supposed to be protecting her that morning at the hotel had checked in with Luke, saying he'd lost her. Although she was confident Luke wouldn't hurt her, she didn't trust his colleagues. She ignored the text. A few minutes later, when Luke called, she let the call go to voicemail. Acacia wasn't entirely confident she was making the right decision, but Rick had come to her aid, as had Nicholas. If they meant her harm, they'd gone to an extraordinary amount of trouble to do so. On her analysis, they were the lesser of two evils, the greater evil being the risk of returning to the hotel. Rick escorted her inside Charles de Gaulle Airport, where he introduced her to Kurt, one of his associates. When she queried Rick as to why he was staying in Paris, he muttered something about working. Acacia hoped that meant he was on the heels of the men who'd attacked her. Acacia and Kurt flew business class on Air France to Geneva, a very short flight, and were then met at the gate by another security guard and an airport agent. They were whisked through customs and accompanied outside the Geneva airport to a waiting limousine. Kurt held the door open for Acacia. She climbed in.
Good morning.
Monsieur Cassirer's smooth voice greeted her. She startled. Kurt slipped around her and sat opposite his employer, leaving Acacia to sit near Nicholas. Monsieur Cassirer was dressed in one of his ubiquitous black suits. His purple tie hung loose around his neck, just a shade darker than the purple of his dress shirt. His hair was carefully combed, and he was clean-shaven, his scar miraculously invisible. Acacia lowered her gaze to her seatbelt. She pondered his disappearing scar, and wondered why he'd worn it as Pierre Breckmann but covered it every other time she'd encountered him.
I trust your flight was comfortable.
Yes, thank you.
Nicholas handed her a bottle of sparkling water.
You look tired.
Acacia took the bottle gratefully.
I am.
She was too exhausted to reflect on her denim jacket and white pants, or the state of her hair. She'd worked the night shift at the hotel before the terrifying events of that morning. On the short flight from Paris to Geneva, she'd only been able to sleep for a few minutes. She opened the bottle and sipped, her gaze drawn to the landscape outside the car.
Where are you taking me?
Just a moment.
Nicholas lifted his hand as the driver pulled out of the airport and onto a small side road. The driver pulled the car to the shoulder and parked behind a small black van. The door to the van opened, and an Asian man exited the vehicle.
What's going on?
Acacia asked.
It's all right, Nicholas spoke in a soothing tone. He's part of my security detail. He's going to sweep you for surveillance devices.
Acacia's mouth dropped open.
Is that necessary?
Nicholas wore a grave expression.
It's for your safety as well as mine.
Acacia thought back to the events at the Victoire earlier that morning. She certainly didn't want to see her assailants again.
All right.
She squared her shoulders and followed Kurt and Nicholas out of the limousine. The Asian man appeared to be in his late 20s. He was slender, with dark hair and dark eyes. In his hands, he held a silver briefcase and what looked like a portable metal detector. He smiled at Acacia.
Hi there.
He greeted her in English. This will just take a minute. Acacia stood still as the young man meticulously scanned her with the wand. Then he repeated the procedure on Kurt and Nicholas. Acacia stared at the man, wide-eyed. When he was finished, he nodded at Nicholas and hopped back into the van. Nicholas piloted Acacia into the limousine.
That was when. He's part of my security team. He's already scanned in here, so we can talk now.
I don't recall you scanning me for bugs before I met you at Madame Bishop's office.
Nicholas smiled patiently. Don't you recall going through security when you entered the building?
Acacia blinked.
What about at the Victoire? No one scanned me there.
My advance team scanned the suite before I arrived, and they continued doing so as people came and went.
Nicholas gazed over at her thoughtfully. You weren't bugged.
Acacia straightened.
I didn't know you had an advance team when you stayed at the Victoire.
Hotel security was aware of it, and so was your manager.
Nicholas's lip curled at his mention of Acacia's former supervisor.
I didn't have you scanned individually because I was concerned you'd spread information about my anti-surveillance practices.
Acacia frowned.
Did your team ever find anything?
Always. On my last visit, there were 6 devices in the penthouse suite.
Acacia took a drink from her water bottle.
Why would someone want to listen in on your conversations?
It wasn't limited to audio. Some of the devices recorded video as well. Interested parties might be looking for blackmail material, as well as information about my business dealings.
Who would do that?
He shrugged. We all have our enemies.
Acacia muttered a low curse.
Now that we've been debugged, where are you taking me?
My parents' house. My team is investigating the men who attacked you. I hope to discover who they're working for soon.
Your parents?
Acacia swung her head to face him. Nicholas broke eye contact and looked straight ahead.
They aren't at home. They spend most of their time abroad.
Do they live near the airport?
They have a house in Coligny, which has a full staff and excellent security. She exhaled.
You don't even know me.
I take responsibility for my actions, mademoiselle. You're in danger because of me.
Nicholas set his jaw. I may not enjoy the view, but at least I can look myself in the mirror.
Acacia examined his profile.
How did it happen?
He ignored her question. She couldn't fault him. Whatever had caused his scar had surely been traumatic. She decided to change the subject.
How long will it take to find out who attacked me?
Not long. I have my suspicions. I just need confirmation.
And what are your suspicions?
Organized crime. They're probably running things through the hotel, using Marcel and Monsieur Roy. It's possible the attack behind the hotel was designed simply to frighten you. But given what happened to Marcel...
Nicholas's voice trailed off.
They're expending a great deal of effort to get rid of me. Seems a disproportionate response.
Are you familiar with the iceberg principle?
She shook her head.
When you see an iceberg, you're only seeing 1/10 of it. The rest of the iceberg lurks below the surface. We're only seeing 10% of what's going on at the hotel.
Acacia shivered.
I have to tell Monsieur Ra I'm not coming to work tonight.
There's wireless at the house. What will you say?
I don't know. I'm not in a hurry to quit, but for the sake of my reputation, I'd rather not be fired.
She smoothed a crease from the front of her white jeans.
I suppose I could claim to be ill.
Seems like a good idea.
Nicholas gazed at her thoughtfully. Apart from me, did you have any peculiar exchanges with other guests?
Acacia shook her head.
No, nothing unusual.
None of the other employees approached you with anything suspicious?
No, that's why this is so strange.
Nicholas looked beyond Acacia and out her window.
We're almost there.
A few minutes later, they pulled up to a set of iron gates. The driver spoke briefly with the security guard, and the gate opened. They drove down a long, winding road and approached an elegant 3-story stone mansion with gabled windows and a tiled roof. Next to it stood a 2-story carriage house with large, circular windows on both levels. From the car, Acacia could see the grounds were impeccably landscaped, with grass, manicured hedges, and carefully tended rose bushes and potted flowers. The driver parked the limousine at the front entrance and opened Acacia's door.
He retrieved her luggage from the trunk and followed as Nicholas escorted her toward the front door. A mature woman dressed in a green suit waited just inside the entryway. She had lively blue eyes and gray hair, which fell in straight locks to her chin.
"Good morning, Juliet,"
Nicholas greeted her in French. He kissed her on both cheeks.
"It's been a long time."
"Too long."
The woman pressed his hand between hers. Nicholas stepped back.
"This is Mademoiselle Santos. She'll be staying for a few days.
Acacia, this is Juliet. She's been the housekeeper since I was a child."
"Welcome, mademoiselle."
Juliet bobbed her head.
"Thank you, Juliet."
Acacia returned her smile and tried not to gawk. The entranceway opened into an expansive hall with hardwood floors covered by Persian rugs. The wood-paneled walls were hung with oil paintings set in heavy, ornate frames. A large and elaborate crystal chandelier was suspended from the center of the high ceiling. Juliet gestured toward a wooden staircase in the center of the hall.
"Allow me to show you to your room.
Breakfast will be served in the dining room." Acacia made eye contact with Nicholas before shaking her head.
"I'm sorry, I was awake all night. What I'd like most is to sleep." "Of course. I'll ask the chef to send up a tray."
Juliet turned to a young woman who stood in a doorway nearby. Nodding, she disappeared.
"That's Gretel. She will assist you with whatever you need,"
Juliet explained as she led Acacia toward the staircase. Nicholas cleared his throat.
"I have some business to attend to. Shall we meet for dinner at 7?
Acacia was uncomfortable. She wanted to participate in the investigation, but she was too exhausted.
"Yes, see you at 7,
she managed to say.
"Before you go, I want to know more about the security on this property."
"Armed guards with dogs patrol the grounds. Cameras cover every inch of the perimeter, along with motion sensors. At night, the house is locked, and additional alarms and motion sensors are activated at all windows and entrances. There are tunnels beneath the property that allow for evacuation in the event of an emergency."
He paused, noting her continued discomfort, and came a step closer.
"You're safe here."
"What about the tunnels? Could someone access them to get in?"
Nicholas's eyes glittered. "They could try, but they'd have to use a large amount of explosives to blow open the doors. Any intruder would give himself away before gaining access to the tunnels."
"Thank you."
Acacia ducked her head so he wouldn't see the emotion in her eyes. She followed Juliet up the stairs. Chapter 19 Acacia's room was on the second floor and had a balcony that overlooked the swimming pool and the tennis courts. Through the windows, she had an exceptional view of the Alps. Juliet drew back the curtains and opened the balcony door, allowing a refreshing summer breeze inside. She unfolded a luggage rack and gestured for Gretel to place Acacia's suitcase atop it.
"Thank you, Gretel."
She bobbed her head and withdrew. Juliet switched on a lamp that sat on a side table adjacent to the large bed.
"Gretel will bring you your breakfast tray and unpack for you." "That isn't necessary. I didn't bring much."
Acacia smiled at Juliet and placed her briefcase on a desk that stood near the floor-to-ceiling windows. The view of Mont Blanc was breathtaking.
"Very good."
Juliet opened a door to the left of the bed.
"This is the closet. If you need anything pressed or cleaned, please speak to Gretel."
Juliet crossed over to the desk and touched the telephone.
"Line 1 is an internal line and will ring downstairs. Line 2 is an external line. The wireless password is recorded here."
She pointed to a piece of paper on the desk.
"Thank you,"
Acacia murmured.
"The dining room is downstairs, and dinner will be served at 7 o'clock. Do you have any dietary restrictions?"
"No."
Juliet gestured to a doorknob that seemed affixed to the wall near to the bed.
"The bathroom is behind that wall. Just turn the knob. Rest well."
Acacia thanked Juliet again and watched as she exited and closed the door soundlessly behind her. She heaved a sigh of relief, unaccustomed to being on the receiving end of service.
She removed her jacket and walked out onto the balcony. A trellis, covered with vines, climbed the outside of the balcony. She tested its strength. It wasn't clear it would support her weight, but it was the simplest way of escape, should she need it. She surveyed the grounds before she went inside and closed the door. She locked it and pulled the curtains. It was a shame to block such a view, but she needed darkness in order to sleep. The room was very large, with cream-colored walls and heavy blue damask curtains. An expansive rug that matched the window dressings covered the parquet floor. The furniture appeared to be antique. The bed had a high, tufted, blue velvet headboard. Something resembling a crown was situated above the bed, from which blue damask curtains fell, draping to the floor in two large swags. The bed coverings were blue silk, and at the foot of the bed was a small, backless couch with rolled arms, upholstered in blue velvet. Acacia was admiring an antique gold clock on top of the marble mantelpiece when there was a knock at the door.
"Come in,"
she called. Gretta, who appeared to be in her early 20s, entered the room carrying an elaborate breakfast tray. Acacia greeted her with a smile.
"Thank you. If you'd just place it on the table."
Gretta nodded shyly and completed the task before she withdrew. Finally left to her solitude, Acacia yawned. She was exhausted, but not too tired to make sure her room was secure. She checked all the windows to ensure that they were locked, and she locked the door to her room and braced the desk chair under the door handle. Satisfied that anyone wanting to get in would find it difficult, she opened her laptop and connected to the wireless network. She typed a short, polite email to Monsieur Roy, copying the Human Resources Department, which stated that she was ill and wouldn't be at work that evening. She wondered what kind of reaction that would elicit. She texted Kate and told her she was in Coligny and provided her with the telephone number she found printed on the house telephone. Luke had left more than one message. In each, his voice grew increasingly alarmed. Acacia felt a pang of regret at worrying him, but only a pang. Her safety was her chief concern. She typed out a text and sent it to him.
"I needed a break from everything. I've left Paris for a few days."
Acacia knew he'd call her as soon as he received her message, so she switched off her phone. She regarded her breakfast. There were eggs and toast, fresh fruit, chocolate, and a carafe of coffee. Acacia skipped the coffee and drank the orange juice, but she only nibbled the food. It was possible, she reasoned, that the items had been tampered with. Afterward, she began unpacking. She retrieved Marcel's journal from her briefcase and looked around, trying to find a hiding place. Eventually, she lifted the mattress and placed it on top of the bed frame. The mattress would hide the journal well enough. She needed a shower. In Brazil, it was common to shower several times a day. Acacia averred that Brazilians were probably the cleanest people on earth. She reached for the doorknob, which turned easily in her hand, and a door swung inward. Acacia stepped into a bright, white marble bathroom with a spacious modern shower.
"Heaven,"
she whispered. For the moment, at least, she was safe. Chapter 20 At 7:10, Acacia left her room. She assumed Nicholas dressed for dinner, but was unable to do so herself. The contents of her rolling bag had been gathered in a panic and were entirely haphazard. She had underwear, but only the bra she was wearing, cosmetics, but no shampoo. For dinner, she opted for black jeans and a black t-shirt, since they matched. She hadn't slept well. In her dreams, she'd been chased through the streets of Paris and had hidden inside a darkened corner of Notre Dame. Her attackers found her and dragged her outside. She'd woken up only to fall back to sleep and suffer a variation of the same dream, faceless men chasing her on foot through the Latin Quarter of Paris. Acacia was halfway down the stairs when she realized she'd forgotten her purse and her cell phone. She quickly returned to her room. She opened the door and stepped through it. Light shone from the enormous windows that looked out over the terrace, the curtains opened wide. It took a moment for her to realize it was not her room. This room was larger and sat on the corner of the second floor. There was a large canopied bed, a desk and a chair, a couch, and an easel that sat near the balcony door. Acacia approached the easel. A half-finished watercolor of Mont Blanc looked back at her. Palettes of paint and a series of brushes had been carefully placed on a nearby table. The room was clean, and the bed was made. Open books sat on the desk where a cluster of post-it notes decorated the wood. There was a framed photograph of two teenagers, a girl and a boy, dressed in white tennis outfits. The boy was tall and gangly, his arm around the girl's shoulders. Acacia recognized his unscarred face. She stepped back in dismay, realizing she was in Riva's room. A portrait of her hung over the fireplace, a smiling woman with dark red hair and brown eyes. A throat cleared nearby. Juliet stood in the doorway, wearing a severe expression.
"Excuse me, mademoiselle. This is one of the family rooms." "Of course."
Acacia approached the housekeeper, flushed with embarrassment.
"I opened the wrong door by mistake. I'm so sorry."
Juliet waited until Acacia had passed into the hall before closing the door firmly.
"I need to get my purse."
She glanced around the hall, confused. She wasn't sure which room was hers. Juliet slipped past her and opened a door.
"Nicholas has requested that dinner be served on the terrace. I can escort you."
Her face was decidedly unfriendly.
"Of course. One moment."
Acacia entered her room and quickly switched on her cell phone before she put it in her purse.
"Thank you for waiting."
She re-entered the hallway and closed the door to her room.
"This way, please."
The housekeeper gestured to the staircase, and they began their descent. Over the railing, Acacia saw Greta carrying a large tray. The young woman paused before a closed door and vainly juggled the tray in an effort to reach the doorknob.
"Wait."
Nicholas's long strides crossed the cavernous hall. He opened the door and held it as Gretla passed through. Acacia regarded the scene with interest. As Monsieur Breckman, Nicholas had been abrupt and demanding. Now, as if he'd heard her thoughts, his eyes strayed upward. He straightened and gave her an appreciative look. He'd shed his tie and was clad in the purple shirt and black suit. He met her at the base of the stairs and extended his hand. "Did you rest well?"
"Yes, thank you."
Acacia allowed him to assist her down the remaining stairs. She eyed Juliet, hoping she wouldn't mention her mistake with the rooms. Nicholas nodded at Juliet.
"I'll escort Mademoiselle to the terrace."
"Very good."
Juliet turned and disappeared through another door. Acacius's shoulders relaxed. She turned to Nicholas and whispered conspiratorially,
"Do you always wear black suits?"
He raised an eyebrow.
"Not always, no. But in my opinion, gray or navy suits look inferior."
Acacia shook her head. He gestured to the door through which Gretla had entered and held it open. Acacia accompanied him through an elaborate sitting room and dining room before they exited through a set of glass doors. The terrace was situated under the balcony to her room. She recognized the vine-covered trellis that climbed skyward. From the terrace, they could see the great expanse of green lawn that disappeared into a copse of trees. Above the forested area, the snow-covered Alps were visible, including the awe-inspiring Mont Blanc.
"What a beautiful place to grow up,"
Acacia thought. A long table had been set for two. A bar was situated next to the doorway, with a bottle of pastis and a silver pitcher of water at the ready. Nicholas pulled out her chair.
"I hope you don't mind dining outside. It's a warm evening, and the view is incomparable."
"I don't mind."
"I asked the chef to create something special, an homage to Guy Servois, since I recalled you hadn't had the chance to visit his restaurant. We have weighty matters to discuss, but at least we can have an enjoyable meal."
Nicholas crossed over to the bar.
"Can I offer you an aperitif?"
"Please."
He poured pastis into a tall glass and added water before handing it to her.
It was customary to enjoy the spirit mixed with cold water on a very hot day. Gretla appeared with another tray. When she saw Nicholas at the bar, she grew flustered.
I'm sorry, monsieur.
I decided to serve myself, Gretla. Not to worry. He gave the young woman a smile and filled his own glass. When he returned to his seat, he lifted his drink. To alliances. Acacia lifted her glass in return.
To safety.
Pastis was an acquired taste, but Acacia liked it. She sipped her drink and noticed the bar was stocked with several bottles of wine. My parents have an enviable wine cellar. Nicholas's voice broke into her thoughts.
Are you sure they won't mind?
Nicholas was quiet while Gretla served the amuse-bouche and waited until she left the terrace before he spoke. My parents are seldom here. The staff aren't used to the house being occupied.
It's a beautiful home. Has your family lived in it long?
The house was built in the 19th century by one of my ancestors. Casirers have lived here ever since. At that moment, the chef appeared in his white coat and hat. He introduced himself and said a few words about the evening's menu before wishing them bon appétit. After his departure, Acacia turned to her host.
I'm grateful for your hospitality, but I have questions.
Ask. His unruffled response surprised her.
Cassira is a German name.
Someone has been doing research. The edge of his mouth turned up.
We're related to the more famous branch of the family, but my ancestor quit Germany in the 1860s and settled here.
My father was born in this house.
You don't live here?
I live in Zurich.
Why didn't you take me there?
Someone in search of both of us would scour Monaco for Pierre Breckmann. If they uncovered the link between Breckmann and me, they'd travel to Zurich. We're at least two steps ahead of them by being here, and the security is better. In addition, he paused and broke eye contact, we're chaperoned. Acacia felt the sudden urge to laugh, but caught herself. His eyes met hers. Perhaps I'm old-fashioned.
It's very thoughtful of you,
she admitted.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
Working nights takes its toll. I find it difficult to sleep during the day.
You're a strong person, Acacia. But I'm conscious of the fact your experience at the hotel this morning was traumatic. I should have asked if you needed a doctor. Acacia was dumbfounded. She hadn't expected this level of consideration. Her thoughts strayed to Luke. She squirmed.
No, I don't need a doctor. The man who grabbed me frightened me, but I'm not hurt.
I'm relieved to hear that. Nicholas's tone was genuine. If you're feeling up to it, I'd like to show you my family's art collection after dinner. She smiled.
I'd like that, monsieur.
I think we're past the formality of titles.
Very well, Nicholas.
Rick tells me you've trained in martial arts. Acacia tasted her amuse-bouche, which she found delicious. She avoided Nicholas's eyes. He persisted.
What forms of martial arts do you study? I started in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. When I moved to France, I changed to karate.
Nicholas hummed. I began studying martial arts a few years ago. Acacia lifted her head. Her host was a man of many layers.
I want to know more about the meeting Marcel was arranging.
Nicholas rubbed his chin. I believe I answered this question before. Marcel set up a meeting between me and one of his contacts who was interested in selling a painting.
What painting?
He finished his amuse-bouche and wiped his mouth with his napkin.
The details weren't revealed.
You don't announce that you have a stolen painting for sale. You make it known that a rare work is available, and wait until you find an appropriate buyer. That's why we use intermediaries. Someone has to vouch for both parties. Names are rarely exchanged.
Have you discovered who attacked me at the hotel?
Two Bosnian men. Acacia nodded. The man who attacked her must have muttered in Bosnian, which was why she hadn't understood.
Who were they working for?
I'm still looking into it. He gestured to her empty plate. How was it?
It was delicious.
She sipped her aperitif as Gretel appeared and removed the used plates. She served the appetizers and presented a bottle of sherry to Nicholas, who perused the label and nodded. She opened the bottle and poured a glass for the two guests, then placed the bottle on a nearby table. Acacia waited until Gretel was out of earshot before she continued.
Is this sherry?
Yes. The chef recommended it to pair with the gazpacho. Nicholas lifted his small glass in salute. Acacia mirrored his actions. It was theater of the absurd to sit in such a beautiful place, drinking and eating expensive delicacies while her attackers roamed free. Or perhaps Nicholas knew more than he'd revealed.
I have a theory about why Rick remained in Paris.
Oh, really?
When I left the hotel this morning, Rick had one of my attackers on the ground. I doubt he released him.
I don't deny it. Nicholas tucked into his gazpacho.
Did you turn the man over to the police?
No.
She rested her spoon on the edge of her bowl.
Why not?
Because I ordered his release.
Good God, why?
Acacia wrung her hands.
So he would deliver a message to his superiors. The men who attacked you are one rung in a ladder. We want the message to climb higher.
What message is that?
Anyone who fucks with you fucks with me.
Acacia's eyes widened. His sudden and forceful profanity surprised her. Aside from a look he exchanged with her, Nicholas appeared unperturbed and continued to eat his soup with gusto. She took hold of the edge of the table.
I thought you used aliases in order to avoid detection.
Once Rick was seen at the hotel, Monsieur Ra would have pointed the assailants in Breckman's direction. I thought it important to send a message.
As soon as I return to Paris, I'll be in danger again.
You don't know anything damaging. As long as you stay away from the Victoire, I expect you'll be forgotten.
Acacia thought of the journal hidden under her mattress upstairs. The people who wanted it weren't going to give up so easily.
They may have forgotten me, but they won't forget Breckman.
Nicholas lifted a shoulder.
If they dig any deeper, they'll discover Breckman is an arms dealer. That should give them pause.
Acacia went very still. Nicholas continued eating his gazpacho, oblivious to a reaction.
The BRB must have looked into you.
She held her voice steady.
Did your boyfriend tell you what they found?
Acacia opened her mouth to correct him, but thought better of it.
The agent who interviewed me seemed very thorough.
Yes, but evidence that Breckman is an arms dealer was planted today, after you were attacked.
Acacia stared.
Won't that ruin your alias?
Silke ruined it already by placing herself in the tabloids.
His tone was subdued.
I'm sorry.
His eyes bored into hers.
Don't be.
I saw the photographs. What she did was disgusting and cruel.
Nicholas looked away.
We didn't have a traditional relationship. No doubt I'd shock you if I described what we really had.
I don't shock easily.
At that moment her cell phone chirped. She smiled apologetically.
That's an incoming text. I should probably check it.
The phone chirped three more times in rapid succession.
Go ahead. I'll tell the chef to hold the next course.
Nicholas stood and walked into the house, leaving her in privacy. Acacia retrieved her phone and found two voicemail messages from Luke. She ignored them. Kate had also sent several texts.
Your apartment was trashed. I'm so sorry. Don't know when it happened. Didn't hear anything. Door is wide open. Everything on floor. Should I call police, Luke?
Acacia sat back in her chair. A new text arrived with photographs of the inside of the apartment. Clothes were ripped from the closet, dresser drawers pulled out and their contents dumped. Even her mattress had been slashed and upended. Every cupboard and drawer in the kitchen was open. Glasses and dishes lay shattered on the floor. Acacia stifled a gasp. Footsteps sounded behind her.
What is it?
Nicholas's voice came from over her shoulder. Wordlessly, she lifted her phone. He took it and scrolled through the images.
That's your apartment?
She nodded. He cursed and handed back her phone.
Was anyone hurt?
No.
My neighbor is taking care of my cat.
She didn't hear anything, but saw that my door was open.
He passed a hand over his mouth.
Someone didn't take my message seriously.
What do you mean?
She whispered.
I told you, Acacia. Anyone who fucks with you fucks with me.
His expression hardened.
We'll make them pay. I swear it.
Chapter 21
No,
Acacia said resolutely. Nicholas peered down at her.
What?
I don't want them to pay, because I don't want this to escalate.
She picked up her phone and tapped out a quick text to Kate. Nicholas turned on his heel and walked to the bar. He retrieved a bottle of wine and showed her the label. She nodded and he opened it, pouring the Cabernet Sauvignon in generous portions. Acacia took the wine gratefully.
Thank you.
She swirled her glass, her mind a jumble.
What are you afraid of?
Nicholas asked. Her eyes met his. Concern was etched across his strong features.
I know what happened to your sister.
Acacia tried to make her voice as gentle as possible.
I'm so sorry.
Pain flashed across his face.
Your situation is completely different.
Until we know who is behind this, we don't know what kind of situation this is.
Nicholas lifted his glass and took a long drink.
Do you want to call your boyfriend?
She shook her head.
I texted Kate and asked her not to call anyone yet.
He seemed surprised.
What about the Paris police?
No.
Why not?
Acacia forced her voice to remain even.
If I want to continue in the hospitality industry, I have to stay out of the media. It's going to be difficult enough for me to find another position once Ra fires me.
She placed a hand over her mouth and removed it quickly.
I forgot about my landlords. They'll need a police report for the insurance, and so will I. I need to go home.
He leaned against the bar and faced her.
You left Paris, so you'd be safe.
You saw the pictures. There's thousands of euros in damage.
Nicholas regarded the currant-colored liquid in his glass.
I'm puzzled as to why you wouldn't call your boyfriend.
That's none of your business,
Acacia snapped. He lifted his head and his dark eyes glittered. He nodded, as if affirming something to himself. Something clicked in Acacia's mind as well.
You knew,
she whispered.
What did you say?
She thrust her chair back and stood.
When we spoke on the phone, when you were convincing me to leave Paris, you warned me to remove everything valuable from my apartment.
I did. Nicholas seemed unruffled. The man who attacked you escaped. If I were he, I'd have followed you to your apartment. You told me you had a cat, Acacia. Men who would attack a woman wouldn't hesitate to harm a pet.
She stared at him incredulously.
You were protecting my cat?
He frowned.
Not just your cat. They would have taken anything of value, anything you couldn't afford to lose.
She gestured vaguely, her mind racing.
Did you set this up?
Acacia,
he said softly. He waited until she made eye contact before he continued.
I have no reason to attack you or to ransack your apartment. I was worried something like this might happen, which is why I told Rick to keep an eye on you. It's a good thing I did, since the BRB was nowhere to be found this morning.
She grabbed her phone.
After Rick dropped me off at the airport, did he go back to my apartment?
Of course not.
Nicholas gave her a pointed look.
While we're on the subject, what do you think those men were looking for?
What makes you think they were looking for something?
The ransacking appeared systematic. Acacia lifted her chin.
Maybe they were looking for you.
Nicholas stretched his arms wide. I'm not in your apartment.
You were in the building.
They could have come after me then. They didn't.
because you had a large armed security detail, and the BRB had me under surveillance.
Acacia froze.
It was a diversion.
I beg your pardon?
You wanted me to see the painting in your suite and call the BRB. You wanted the diversion.
Nicholas shook his head. I was using an alias. Why would I invite scrutiny?
Because of the meeting Marcel arranged. You said names are never exchanged. What if the art dealer learned your name before you arrived? He found out you recover art from various governments and sent men to attack Marcel in order to derail the meeting.
The thought had occurred to me, Nicholas said. That doesn't explain why he'd send men after you, assuming the men who attacked you are the ones who assaulted Marcel.
I'm leaving.
Acacia yanked her purse from where it hung on the back of her chair. Nicholas stepped between her and the doorway. Kurt will take you to the airport, but you'll be running back into a burning house. You're safer here. At 6'3", Nicholas was taller than Acacia, but her years of training had settled steel into her spine. She stood toe to toe with him and flashed angry eyes.
If they know who you are, they'll know who your parents are. That will lead them here.
He grew very, very still. Even if they discovered Breckman's identity, they won't necessarily connect him with me.
But they know my name. They could trace my passport. They could find my information in the passenger manifest from the flight.
They could, if it was there.
What do you mean?
It means my security team deleted your name from the manifest.
That's illegal.
A computer malfunction. He gestured to the door. You can leave at any time, but if you want to avoid the police and the media, you should stay. The next time these men approach you, they'll be even more vicious. She stopped. His observation had merit. Nicholas's hand curled into a fist. The muscles in his arm bunched beneath his suit jacket.
You know what happened to Reva.
What you don't know is that she's the reason I became involved in the black market.
Everything I do is because of her. Everything I do is an attempt to right those wrongs. I'm not the enemy, Acacia. I'm your ally. Be mine as well.
Acacia glared.
You're withholding information.
So are you. He gestured to the dinner table, but Acacia crossed her arms. He huffed impatiently.
For an alliance to work, information needs to flow in both directions. What were those men looking for in your apartment?
Oh, excuse me.
Gretla's voice broke into their conversation. She stood nearby with a large serving tray.
It's all right, Gretla.
Nicholas turned back to his houseguest.
Are you staying for the main course?
The chef has prepared Chateaubriand. Acacia looked from Nicholas to Gretla and back again. If she returned to Paris, she would have to go to Luc. He was the only one who could protect her. But Luc's colleagues had failed him. They'd left her unprotected because they'd been paid off, or for some other reason. It was possible he'd find himself at odds with the BRB if she went to him for help. There was also the matter of her personal connection to him. Returning to Luc would mean undoing the most difficult decision she'd had to make. She couldn't do it. Acacia took her seat and glowered at her host. At the moment, at least, he seemed her best option. Gretla served the main course and topped off their wine glasses before she returned to the kitchen.
I'll stay for now, but I want answers.
Acacia lifted her fork.
So do I.
Nicholas speared his steak aggressively.
I've already shared some of my information. It's your turn. How do I know you've been telling me the truth?
I've been open with you, Acacia. My alias appears in the hotel records. The Minister of the Interior knows who I am, and so does Madame Bishop at KLH. Would someone intent on deceiving you leave behind so many breadcrumbs? Acacia shifted in her seat. He had a point.
I brought you here. To my parents' home, where you'd be safe, and where we'd be chaperoned. Again, why would someone intent on harming you involve so many potential witnesses? You were assaulted.
Nicholas's voice grew soft.
Your home was invaded, and your possessions destroyed, but I can help.
She moved the food around on her plate. His large hand slid across the tablecloth, but stopped just shy of touching her.
I'll send a team to repair the damage and clean up the mess. I'll ask them for an inventory so you can see what's damaged and what's missing. You won't have to go through the insurance. I'll replace everything.
Why?
If the art dealer is the one behind this, then I'm the true target. I feel responsible for what happened to you.
He stared at her intently. She pushed her hair back from her forehead.
The superintendent will see the damage. She'll call my landlords.
And I should make the call right now. He pushed his chair back.
It's after hours. You won't be able to hire anyone tonight.
He gave her a half smile.
What if I were a guest at the Victoire? Could you find contractors that work at night for me?
She shook her head.
I could find someone who would be there first thing tomorrow morning, but not tonight.
Let me see what I can do. She pondered his offer and thought about the journal she'd hidden upstairs. She hadn't locked her room. It was possible someone had already searched and found it. If the men who attacked her knew she had the journal, perhaps Nicholas knew as well.
Fine.
She cleared her throat.
I'll tell you what the men were looking for. Rick doesn't speak French, does he?
Not really. Acacia grasped the stem of her wine glass and toyed with it.
When the man attacked me at the hotel, he spoke to me in French. He asked for the book.
Nicholas leaned forward.
What book?
She sighed.
Marcel's journal. Do you have it?
His tone was eager. She searched his eyes.
You know about it?
I'd noticed Marcel's journal on previous visits, but didn't think anything of it. It only occurred to me to wonder about it after I saw you recording things in a similar book. Acacia felt her lungs constrict. It was possible he had brought her to his parents' house in the hope of wresting the journal from her. But Rick could have let the man harm her at the hotel. Or he could have come to her apartment and demanded the journal. Nicholas didn't need to fly her to Geneva. The journal was of no use to her. It was evidence related to a crime, and she was eager to be rid of it.
I found Marcel's journal at the hotel. He'd hidden it in the lobby.
Nicholas pursed his lips.
Did you tell anyone?
Acacia hesitated.
No. I intended to turn it over to the Paris police, but I haven't had the chance.
So your boyfriend doesn't know about it?
No. Is it with you?
She nodded.
I'll make the call about your apartment.
He stood.
Excuse me.
Acacia watched him leave, then quickly texted Kate.
If you don't hear from me in the next few hours, phone Luke with the information I gave you.
Chapter 22 Nicholas had been subdued upon his return to dinner. He resumed his meal and made no mention of the journal. Acacia found his behavior peculiar. She expected him to demand she retrieve the book immediately.
Not hungry?
Nicholas finally addressed the issue after she'd rearranged the food on her plate twice.
I've lost my appetite.
I'm sorry. Workmen are on their way to your apartment.
He turned his attention back to his food.
How is that possible?
My parents have an apartment in Paris. Juliet had the contact information for the contractor who recently renovated their place. He agreed to inspect your apartment tonight as a favor.
Thank you.
Acacia swallowed a lump in her throat.
Please thank Juliet as well.
What's so interesting about Marcel's journal?
I don't know.
Acacia pushed her plate aside. While Nicholas's attention was focused on his meal, she placed her purse on top of the steak knife.
I read every page more than once. Marcel used a short form in most of his notes. The entry on your meeting had the letter V next to it.
Nicholas pushed his empty plate aside as well and gestured to Gretla to remove the dishes. Acacia had mere seconds to decide whether to steal the steak knife and hide it in her purse, or leave it for Gretla to remove.
It would be good to have a weapon,
she reasoned, eyeing Nicholas. But her martial arts training had eschewed weapons. She was the weapon, her sensei had said. She had to have confidence in her training and her instincts, otherwise no weapon could help her. Nonchalantly, Acacia slid her purse off the table to her lap, leaving the steak knife behind. "Would you prefer dessert, or cheese, or both?" Nicholas asked.
"Neither, thank you."
She lifted her napkin and touched it to her lips. "Coffee or tea?"
"Coffee, please. Black."
Nicholas nodded in Gretla's direction, who cleared the table and left to retrieve the next course. He fidgeted with his napkin.
"You're sure the letter was V?"
"Yes.
I can get the journal for you."
Acacia moved as if to stand. "After dinner." She studied his profile. She had expected a more vigorous reaction, but he was almost relaxed.
"I suppose V could stand for Victoire," she surmised. "Perhaps Marcel intended to introduce you to the dealer at the hotel."
"Not likely. These meetings are usually scheduled on neutral territory, with ample time for both security teams to inspect the area."
"So V is a person?"
"Or a number."
"Of course, the number 5.
She sighed.
"I wish I could ask Marcel about the people who attacked him."
"I have contacts keeping an eye on his progress. They'll get in touch if necessary."
"Are you sure you aren't an arms dealer? You have more contacts than a concierge."
Nicholas laughed. She'd never heard him laugh before. The sound was deep and happy. He smiled broadly, and for a moment, Acacia realized just how handsome he was. He had an intelligent forehead, high cheekbones, an angular jaw, and an expressive mouth. His smile lit his entire face. "I doubt arms dealers would self-identify, but for the record, again, I am not an arms dealer." He chuckled, as if the thought were incredibly amusing. Gretla appeared and brought espresso, a plate of cheese and fruit, and a sliced baguette. Despite the fact that she'd refused dessert, Acacia helped herself to the cheese and bread.
"Are you still interested in seeing the art collection?"
Nicholas's tone was casual. Acacia sipped her espresso.
"Sure."
"Good. I can give you a private tour of the gallery."
"The gallery?"
Acacia blinked.
"I thought the collection was inside the house."
The edges of Nicholas's mouth turned up. "Prepare to be amazed." After dinner, the duo exited the terrace and walked on a path that led from the back of the house to the driveway at the side. There, 2 black cars were parked in tandem.
"I don't usually travel without security."
Nicholas gestured to the Range Rover. Kurt and another man stood next to it. "But my father doesn't like anyone driving his car besides me." He led her to the passenger side of a Porsche 911 Turbo S and opened the door. Acacia stepped into the car. He closed the door behind her.
"Where's the gallery?"
she asked Nicholas as he settled into the driver's seat.
"A few streets over. Kurt will follow us, and when we arrive, security will let us in."
The Porsche roared to life. Acacia congratulated herself on texting Kate. If for some reason Nicholas and his minions decided to hurt her, she'd do her best to fight them off. If she failed and wasn't able to text Kate again, Kate would call Luke.
"Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they aren't after you,"
Acacia thought, channeling Joseph Heller. She'd always thought her paranoia served her well. They exited the gates and turned left, then drove down a tree-lined road populated by other large estates. Nicholas glanced in her direction.
"Would you rather go back?"
She tore her gaze from the window.
"Why do you ask?"
With his right hand, he gestured to her lap, where she clutched her purse with both hands. She forced a smile.
"You're driving a bit fast."
"And this from a Parisian driver." He grinned. He took his foot from the accelerator and slowed the car.
"In Paris, you have to keep up with the flow of traffic, or you'll end up in an accident."
She looked over her shoulder and saw the Range Rover had slowed as well.
We're in a residential area.
He flashed a wide smile.
I'd like you to take me for a ride on your motorcycle.
Really?
Rick says you handle it well.
Nicholas slowed the car again as they approached a roundabout. They took the first exit and drove along another residential street and up a hill. Two more turns, and they traveled a private road. Acacia's phone buzzed with a text. She removed the phone from her purse and looked at the screen. The message was from Kate.
You're scaring me. I'm calling Luke now.
Nicholas peered over at Acacia. Something important? Discreetly, she hid the screen from view.
Just my neighbor fussing about the damage done to my apartment. I'll assure her it's being looked after.
Acacia replied to Kate, keeping the screen from Nicholas's prying eyes.
Don't call Luke unless you don't hear from me for several hours. I'm okay.
I thought your neighbor was your friend, Nicholas remarked.
She is, but she worries.
Then she's a good friend.
Yes.
Acacia's phone buzzed again.
Okay, but be careful.
Acacia could barely restrain her sigh of relief at Kate's reply. She muted her phone so she wouldn't be disturbed. Nicholas pulled the Porsche in front of a set of high iron gates. The gates opened and they passed through. The gallery was actually a small estate that overlooked Lake Geneva. There were several buildings, all connected, with a large and elaborate fountain situated in the beautifully landscaped quadrangle.
This is where your family houses their art collection?
Acacia asked in amazement. Nicholas parked the car near the fountain.
Yes, it was opened to the public in 1951.
Acacia noted that some of the large windows in the building were shuttered, probably for conservation purposes. Nicholas helped her out of the car and accompanied her to the central building.
I told the curator we wanted to tour the collection privately. Or would you prefer he be our guide?
A guide isn't necessary.
As she entered the building, Acacia noticed the interior lighting was very low. The display cases and exhibits, however, were well lit. They shook hands with the curator, who welcomed them and made a few remarks about the collection. Nicholas and Acacia turned a corner into the first exhibition. Acacia stopped so suddenly, Nicholas walked right into the back of her.
My apologies.
His hands gripped her arms from behind, steadying her. He took a very large step back. Acacia barely noticed their collision. She was at a loss for words.
Is that?
She took a step forward. Before her hung a famous portrait of Dante Alighieri. It was an image she'd seen 100 times on the cover of her copy of The Divine Comedy. Nicholas strode past her.
Come closer.
She approached the painting with wonder.
I didn't know you owned it.
One of my ancestors had a fondness for Florence. I told you we used to be in possession of a set of illustrations of The Divine Comedy that were copies of Botticelli's. This is an original, painted by Botticelli around 1495. Of course, Dante died in 1321, but it's considered a very good likeness.
Incredible.
She looked closely at the colors, at the way Botticelli spread the tempera over canvas. I've always liked this painting, he mused as he followed her gaze.
Me too,
she admitted. I thought you liked the Impressionists.
I do.
She gave Nicholas a sheepish look.
Botticelli has always moved me.
He searched her eyes.
Look as long as you like. We have the entire gallery at our disposal.
He moved away and left Acacia to admire the piece. She joined him a few minutes later.
It was such a surprise to find that painting here. I thought it belonged to the Uffizi.
No, we've owned that work for generations. We don't publicize our best pieces. Not since the theft.
She cleared her throat.
Do you mind if I ask about the paintings that were stolen?
His shoulders tightened.
The Mont family, a pastel on paper by Degas, Ice Flows on the Seine near Bencourt by Monet. We also lost a Renoir, Dance in the Moulin de la Galette.
Acacia made a sound of shock and covered her mouth momentarily.
I'm so sorry. I'm not familiar with the Tegas.